sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry.
I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
How oft I cried when far away from you my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now, God, I know I need you.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I had this thing.
I've been washed.
In the blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." In the Old Testament, many lambs were sacrificed. They had to be perfect, spotless, without blemish. But all that did was just point to the perfect, spotless Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came, bled, and died on an old rugged cross for you and me. He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again in victory. And there is a new and living way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. The rich can be saved this morning. The poor can be saved this morning. The drug addicts can be saved this morning. Those who are sober can be saved this morning. Anybody and everybody can be saved this morning. I hope that you know the Lamb of God. Well, this morning I want to welcome everybody to Calvary Baptist Church. And let me just say, we have some on the altar. The altar is always open at any given time, so if you need to come and join them in prayer, you do so. But we do want to welcome everybody here, and we are back from vacation. No shark bites. No shark bites. And didn't even see a shark. Didn't even see a shark. But we had a wonderful time. Thank you for allowing us to be gone for the days that we were gone. So good to be here. And we watched the services in the morning and at night. And thank you, Brother Allen, for filling in for me, and Brother Kevin Brook last Sunday night. But I tell you what, we missed you guys. We are refreshed and glad we're back and ready to minister to you and your needs. So good to be here this morning. I do want to mention several things before we do pray in just a moment, our morning prayer. I do want to say at the conclusion of the service, we're going to have a time of prayer for all of those going back to school, all of our school kids. I'm going to call you up front, and we're going to pray for you. Our kids need prayer. They are up against it this year. Each and every year, it gets harder and harder. And I say that because men are getting worse and worse. And so our kids need our prayers, and so we are going to pray for them after the service. But I do, while we're on the subject of greeting everybody, I do want to welcome everybody here. It doesn't look like we have any first-time visitors, but it is good to have those that are visiting with us. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I do want to say this. In July, we have celebrated our 6 years as your pastor. 6 years has... Thank you. Thank you. 6 years has came and gone very quickly. Of course, 7 years total. Including the first year we were Brother Snyder's associate. And so it's been a total of 7 years we've been with you. And it's been a journey, hasn't it? But I'm glad and thankful where we're at now at this point. Looks like we're moving ahead, moving forward. Things are in place. Things are clicking. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop with the fundraisers. We're not going to stop with the outreaching. We're not going to stop with the fellowships and different things like that. We want to be found faithful when Jesus comes. Do you believe He could come back today? Say amen. Amen. He could come back today. And so thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. I do want to say also, as Brother Allen mentioned during choir practice, but thank you, choir, for this past Thursday. Thank you. Thank you. Listen. I was so proud of our choir, and I was so proud of this gentleman right here on the keyboard. He was on the piano over there, and them keys were hard, weren't they, brother? You know, them piano keys are different than keyboard keys. But Brother Randy, you couldn't tell it. He was beating that piano up and playing them songs, and it just touched my heart, brother. Of course, we appreciate him and all of those in the sound and the video room. Still, we're making it a matter of prayer for a keyboardist, though. We don't want to burn Brother Randy out. He said, you can't burn me out, but I'm just looking after him. And we don't want to do that. So remember that as well. Let's remember Leonard Palmer in our prayers, if you would. On Tuesday, he's going to have a permanent port put in. And he's going to receive treatment for the rest of his life, doctors say. So remember that he will receive treatment. I believe he's going to have his port on Tuesday, but he's going to have treatment on Monday. I may have that flip-flopped, but that's how I believe it's going to go. Port on Tuesday, but treatment on Monday, tomorrow. Dolores, in her heart, she's having some complications. She's going back to get results. She wore a heart monitor for a while. She'll have an MRI in the future. Her or Leonard will. I'm trying to keep them both separated here, but I know Miss Dolores has her heart conditions and Brother Leonard has his cancer that he's trying to beat. So remember them. Miss Connie Norton has been in ICU. For those who do not know, Brother Trail had found her in the kitchen in a pool of blood. She had fell. She had hit her head. And she has about 10 staples in her head. We went to go visit with her the other day. She's conscious. She can talk to you. She knows what's going on. She's just kind of weak. And saying that, I want to just throw something out here right quick. Brother Trail he's exhausted. He's tired. He's there for his wife. Doesn't matter. He is there, tired or not tired. He works regularly as well, and Connie's going to be coming home shortly. I don't know when, but if maybe you can get with me, get with Brother Trail, maybe we can find a helping hand or two to go by and help out with Miss Connie, a female, from time to time. Would that be okay with you, Brother Trail? Okay. All right, so we want to help Brother Trail all that we can. And I know we've got a lot of needs going on. Again, I thank you for sending cards to the Palmers. Continue doing that. Continue checking on the Palmers during that situation. Again, Miss Connie. And we have so many others on our prayer list. Just remember them, if you would. And I already said the back-to-school prayer at the conclusion of the service. I do want to say this. August 8th on Thursday at 11 a.m. will be the Ladies' Prayer Brunch. Ladies, remember that. August 18th, Sunday, 3 p.m. will be CLU, but also Deacons Meeting. That's the 18th. CLU, 3 o'clock. Deacons Meeting, 3 o'clock. And so remember that, August 18th. August 25th, Sunday, 5 o'clock p.m., CGT. Fundraiser. Calvary's Got Talent. That's our fundraiser. And let me say this. We're wanting to paint the sanctuary. Amen? We're wanting to improve and new decor like we've been doing in the hall in the foyer. Not just for us, but for those we invite in the community to come to a beautiful church, which is already beautiful. But our goal is $3,000. $3,000. If someone wants to cut a check right now, that'll be just fine. Our goal is $3,000, and we're going to try to be brave and show some talent to you. I'm going to be the host of that evening with my bow tie. And so we're going to try to be funny a little bit and try to introduce a lot of funny that night. And so just remember that. If you haven't signed up, if you want to do something, help out in that, give to that great cause. We have a sign-up sheet over here to my right, your left. So remember that $3,000 is the goal. And I do want to say that that night will be the last night downstairs for our services. We normally stop that when school starts back, but we stretch out another month. And so August 25th, the last Sunday night of this month, will be the last Sunday night downstairs. We will be moving back upstairs, and again, we're praying for a keyboardist and all of those kind of things, but that's just the route we're going, and then homecoming on September the 15th. All right? Okay. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Amen. All right. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We need you. Thank you, God, for being so faithful in times gone by. Help us be just a measure faithful as you've been to us. We thank you for everybody that's here this morning. Thank you for those who are watching on Facebook, listening on our webpage. God, just the thought of the gospel going forth from this pulpit into the community in other countries is so exciting. Lord, I pray that you'd use the music this morning that has a message in it. I pray that you would soften hearts, touch hearts, encourage hearts through the music. But when it comes to preaching time and teaching time and speaking time, God, I pray that you'll give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, I pray that I'll be able to project outward what you put inward. Lord, I know there's someone here this morning that needs to get saved. God, I know that there's someone that's already saved here this morning that needs to be encouraged. God, do it all. We know you can. You've done it before. You'll do it again. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand with me, choir, stand. Join us this morning. Turn over to page 139. Let's sing At Calvary. On the first verse now. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me. There was great grace was free, pardon there was seated. Church, you can be seated as well. And I do want to say myself as well, what a wonderful job the choir did on Thursday. What a great message we heard over there on Thursday. And it was just a great service. And we are thankful for the opportunity we had to try and go and share the gospel in song. And for the Lord using the choir, I'm thankful for that. Choir looks pretty good this morning, don't they?
Amen.
Good. I appreciate them very much. And I do thank Brother Randy and all the work that he's gone through for the choir and for the church and for the Lord, most of all. I know that's why he does what he does. Brother Randy and I have been in the ministry for a long time. We used to travel around all over, and we'd go and we'd sing. We'd set up, tear it down, sing. Sometimes till early in the morning, we'd be on the way back home from somewhere. But the Lord is blessed, and I'm thankful to call him not only our musician, but I call him my friend. And I know that I put a lot of pressure on him, I'm afraid, a lot of times. But he always comes through, and I'm so thankful for him. And you pat him on the back sometime. I know that you do. And just tell him how much you appreciate him, how much you love him. And let me say this morning that I appreciate the opportunity that I had last Sunday morning to be able to share the gospel. I pray that maybe something touched your heart. Maybe you remember something about the message. I know some do, because in case you were here this last Sunday morning, you remember it. I got a big old pound of cornbread brought to me this morning and some fresh picked tomatoes out of someone's garden, and I'm very thankful for that. See, if you see me slip out, you'll know that I'm back there with that warm pound of cornbread. But, no, I am thankful, and I appreciate it very much. What a sweet gesture and a great gift. I appreciate that this morning. But I am thankful for the opportunity I had to be able to share God's Word last Sunday morning, and it's good to have all the team back intact. Today we had a lot traveling, and but it is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and we are thankful to be here. Amen.
Amen.
Let's not ever take that for granted. There's a lot of folks that would love to be in the house of God this morning that can't be here, but we are thankful this morning to be able to be here today. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service today. Pray for Pastor this morning that he'll be able to deliver the message and have that freedom of the Spirit to do so. Brother Ceylon, would you lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer? I shared on Thursday evening how the greatest greatest experience of my life was the night that I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I'm telling you, church, that the Lord's coming, and He's coming soon. But now you say, well, I've heard that all of my life. And we've heard it preached, and it's been preached for years and decades of time. But that would just cause me to understand this. That would just make it closer now than it's ever been. And I believe with all of my heart that what the church has been called for and what Christians have been left here for is to be a witness and to share what the Lord has done for us with other people. We are wasting our time if we come in here and we turn on the lights and open the doors and we don't tell and warn someone that Jesus is coming soon, and you must be ready, and you've got to accept Jesus as your personal Savior before it's too late. Because tomorrow could be too late. No matter how old or how young we are, if we don't know the Lord as our personal Savior and we leave this life, then the Bible would teach us that hell would be our eternal home. I said on Thursday evening, and I've shared this over the past couple of weeks, what a tragedy that took place on a Friday a week ago, that how the Nealands left this life. And Brother Mike Bagwell shared in a little brief testimony on Thursday evening the same thing, and he said, you know, you are exactly right. And I don't have anything that I can really tell you. I can't understand it, and I can't understand why this is taking place. He said, but I heard an old preacher say, even though I can't give you a reason and I can't give you any kind of an understanding, there's one thing for sure, and that is that God, from His Word, has given us a promise. We have something to look forward to out of this life, but hear me. If you walk out of these doors this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you are taking a gamble. You're gambling with your life to walk out into this world because you need Jesus today as your Savior. Don't take that chance and leave this service today without knowing Him as your personal Savior. Would you pray for the choir this morning as we sing, "When I Got Up, I Knew That I've Been Changed"?
Once in the stillness of the late midnight hour, I felt the presence of the Lord saving God. I fell on my knees and cried to Him there, "Oh, merciful Savior, hear lost sinners' prayer. Oh, what a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm His and He's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching, but thank God I've been found. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been searching. I was lost and I was searching,
may know someone that's lost and you want to come and pray for them this morning. This altar is open. You don't have to wait for anything else. You may be here this morning, you say, Brother Allen, it's me. I'm the one that's never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I want to come to an altar this morning and somebody show me from the Word of God how I can be saved. You just want to come and pray for somebody that you know is lost? This would be a great time. Hey, you don't want to leave this life without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Listen now. What a wonderful moment. What a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm His and He's mine. Blinded eyes are now open. I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation. The night.
Down. We do have some praying, and so we're going to be respectful of them. And maybe, as it's already been said several times, maybe you need to come pray. I asked the girls to sing this song this morning. It feels like it's right on point with how the service is going. God's wanting to save somebody this morning. Jesus Christ is wanting to take up abode in someone's heart. But it's all by the grace of God is how someone gets saved. It's the grace of God and it's the mercy of God. We do not deserve salvation. It is a gift. Would you receive the gift of salvation this morning? Now, the name of this song is All Because of Mercy, and I'm sure we all could testify. All because of mercy, we are who we are. So you pray for the girls this morning as they sing.
I could stand here and try to tell you I found my way here on my own. Brought to life this heart of stone. Made up my own mind to change my own life. Working my own way to good, as if anybody could. But the truth is I've been broken since my very first. And the truth is I've been wandering since my very first step. I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed is not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. I still remember the day He found me, 6 feet under all my shame. I heard Him call me out by name. Hallelujah. The cross is spoken, my Savior bled and died to bring this dead man back to life. I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed is not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. It's all because of mercy. I'm just as desperate for you now as I was back then. If I ever should forget, remind me once again. I'm just as desperate for you now as I was back then. If I ever should forget, remind me once again. I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed, it's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. It's all because of mercy. It's all because of mercy.
This morning, there's somebody here bigger than us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation says he is walking in the midst of the churches. And that is current age, church. That is the church age. And so whatever the Lord speaks to you about, I pray that you would obey him, all because of mercy. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Thank the Lord for his saving grace. And then once we get saved, David says in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reason why I am where I am is because somebody's been following me. Somebody's been caring for me. The reason why you are who you are and you are where you are is because you've been followed. How about that? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very essence of goodness and mercy, has been following me and has been following you. What a tremendous blessing. We're going to be in the book of John this morning, John chapter number 1, if you make your way there. And I am absolute confident I have the message for this morning. I never preach without that confidence. Sometimes I'm a little, I don't know or not. You know, because sometimes God won't confirm it until it's the very time to preach. But sometimes God changes what we preach. But I know I have the message this morning. John chapter number 1. In just a few moments, we're going to read from verse number 43 down through verse number 46. I do want to bow for a word of prayer and kind of get my footing if I can. So let's pause for a moment. And go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for what's been done in this service this morning already. God, help us downshift a little bit so that we can stay in step with you. I don't want to do nothing, say anything that is not from you. I pray that you'd help me crucify my flesh. Holy Spirit, take over the members of my body. Internally and externally. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. I pray that you would soften hearts for the heart that is hardened this morning, that needs salvation. I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. And for the heart that is already saved but needs a firsthand experience with God concerning some kind of provision or coming through on their behalf, Lord, I pray that you'll do that today. Please, Lord, remove all distractions this morning. I need a touch from you, God. I know you want to do something mighty. Bind off the devil and every evil spirit, every principality and power of darkness from my mind. And gird up the loins of my mind. And use me, Lord, this morning is my prayer. No other service matters. Nothing in life matters. But this hour is the only time that matters, Lord. So I pray that you would do something amazing. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you like firsthand experiences? How many would prefer experiencing something for yourself rather than being told about it? I guess it has to do with what the situation is. Now, a shark bite, I don't want a firsthand experience with a shark bite. I'd rather be told about it. You could tell me about your shark bite. I don't want to be shark bit. And praise the Lord, I wasn't shark bit this past, the other week. I did go out in the water about chest high. I tried to scare Christy. I tried to scare Lily. I tried to scare Kristen. Didn't work. I think it did for a little bit with Christy, though. First-hand experiences are always better with pleasant things. What does that phrase mean, first-hand experience? It means knowledge or information that is gained directly, rather from other people. I could tell you this morning how absolutely amazing the ribs were at Pineapple Willie's. They were jaw-dropping, lip-smacking. I don't care. I had barbecue sauce all over my beard, in so much I shaved my beard off just about so that I could be clean cut today. I could tell you that the ribs at Pineapple Willie's were absolutely amazing. I could be so excited about it and try to convince you they are some of the best ribs in the world, but you wouldn't be excited as I am because I, Justin Hales, had firsthand experience with the rib bucket at Pineapple Willie's. I was there. I tasted it. And whoo, it was so good. It was so good. Had some baked beans with it. Yeah, had some fries with it. And about four or five Coke Zeros with it. It was amazing. Right there on the pier, on the beach, fans were blowing, people were talking. It was an absolute must experience. I could tell you how beautiful the ocean was on our vacation at Laguna Beach, which is just outside Panama City. It's where the hotels end and there's no more hotels. That's Laguna Beach right across from Thomas Donut. I could tell you how beautiful that beach was and how white the sand was and how I made friends with the fish. The little Nemos, they were under there bumping against my feet and my knees. And at first I was like, what was that? I thought it was a shark. I thought, oh, the shark talk I do. Oh, if I see a shark, I'm going to punch him in the nose. Oh, if I see a shark, I'm going to knock out his eyes, poke out his eyes. I thought the Lord was going to allow me to have an experience with a shark. Thank God it wasn't a shark. It was just these little Nemo fish. And I could tell you how almost magical, don't really like to use that word, but that's what it felt like. It was an amazing experience. It was such an amazing time. But you are not excited about it as I am because I have firsthand experience. You were not there. The food we ate, hallelujah, ugh, it was amazing. And just so you know, in the record holds, I have put on a little weight. Okay, but that was earned. I've been on this diet for a year and it's killing me, and I needed some fat food. And I ate plenty of fat cake while I was gone. I came home eating fat cake and Papa John's pizza, so I got to get back on track. So, you know. But the food was amazing. I ate some hamburgers that were called candied hamburgers. They were absolutely out of this world. But you see, I can't expect you to be excited about the food that I ate, the times that we had as a family, how refreshed we are, because you weren't there. I had firsthand experience. I'm sure this morning you've had your own firsthand experiences in life. And tried to convey to others, you know, how that you would go home from church and you would say, you should have been there this Sunday. Oh, I watched on Facebook. I know you watched on Facebook, but it's nothing like being there. You should have been there. You've ever experienced that? Been in the presence of the Lord in a service and tried to explain it to someone? So we all have our own firsthand experiences you try to convey to others, but they're just not as excited as you because they weren't there. They didn't feel what you felt. They didn't hear what you heard. They didn't taste what you tasted. It was your firsthand experience. It could have been a church service. It could have been food. It could have been a movie. It could have been a vacation. And you're so excited about it. And you're telling somebody about it. And they're like, oh, really? Oh. Good for you, good buddy. It's because it was your firsthand experience. You tasted it. You heard it. You felt it. And you want the world to know that Pineapple Willie's has the best ribs in the world. Amen. So, we get to our verses here in John chapter number 1. And we have some people who had a first-hand experience with Christ. Verse number 35 through 40. Two disciples are mentioned here of John, and one was given Andrew. He had a first-hand experience with Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse number 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. Come and experience firsthand for yourself. They came and saw him. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew had a first-hand experience with God. He said, come and see. Now, Andrew and this other disciple, not sure if the other disciple of John got saved or not, we just know Andrew got saved. They heard John preach about this coming Jesus. In fact, in chapter 1, in verse number 29, Andrew and this other disciple heard where the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They heard him preach. They heard John's experience with this Lamb of God as he preached about him and gave truths about him. And now Jesus says, you come and see. You come and see. You come to me and see about the salvation that I have. And we know that Andrew was one who had a first experience with Christ. He got saved. He encountered God. But then Simon had a first-hand experience with Christ. Look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, Andrew did, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. A stone. And so Andrew had a firsthand experience with Christ. Andrew told Simon, his brother, about Christ and brought him to Christ. Simon had a firsthand experience of Christ. He got saved. And then we see that Philip had a firsthand experience with Christ. Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Philip had a come and see moment. Philip had a firsthand experience with Christ himself. His experience was a little different than the others. Andrew told Simon, and Simon got saved. But then we see that that Jesus spoke to Philip himself and he got saved. We all have different salvation experiences. Maybe someone was invited to church and they heard the gospel and they got saved. Maybe you were just down in the dumps and you tried everything you could try in life. And on your knees you said, oh God, would you just help me and save me? Maybe that was your experience. I don't know. But we all have different salvation firsthand experiences. And so we see here that these men had come and see moments, these moments where they experienced Christ firsthand. Have you ever experienced Jesus firsthand in salvation? Do you know that you know that if today you died, heaven will be your home? Where will you be 100 years from now, friend of mine? Where will you be? And so now we get to Nathanael. And Philip brings him to Jesus. Notice verse 43, if you would, down through verse 46. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. I want to stop there in verse number 46. That's reading John 1, verse number 43, down through verse number 46. This morning, for a few moments, I want to preach by the help of the Lord this topic, and that is a firsthand experience with Christ. A firsthand experience with Christ. All these men had firsthand experiences with Jesus. Jesus said to the two disciples, come and see. Andrew said to Simon, come and see. Then Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. They came, they saw, they were saved. I could tell you this morning how great Christ is. I could tell you the joy that He imparts, the assurance of heaven that He gives. But that's my firsthand experience with Christ. I came and I saw and I believed. November 19th, 2002 is when I received my firsthand experience with Christ. I've been saved for 22 years now. But back then, I remember I went into Iron House Fitness and I've been trying to work a little job there. I've been trying to clean up my act, turn over new leaves. Some of my friends went to prison. Some died. I even went to funerals and we even poured out beer and smoked marijuana after their funeral. But it was during that time that God was dealing with me. And I had absolute no assurance if I were to leave work one day from the gym and, and get in a car wreck and die. I had no assurance that I would go to heaven. I asked my brother, I said, Chris, what would happen if I leave here and I get killed? He said, well, if you're not saved, you'll go to hell. I said, well, I want to get saved. And that is the basis and the grounds why I got saved, me personally, is because I didn't want to go and burn in a place called hell if my life never changed. If I never moved out of my grandparents' house and never got a family and never kept a steady job, at least I wanted to know when I died, heaven will be my home. And so I came to the Lord, and I can remember almost everything I said. My brother said, do you want to pray or do you want to pray after me? I said, I want to pray. He said, you just got to believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. He was buried on the third day. He rose up from that grave for you. He wants to take you to heaven when you die. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He has a purpose for you, Justin. I said, I want to pray that prayer. November 19th, 2002, 2 years after my brother got saved. He got saved November 19th, 2000. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I said, God, I've been living my life without you. Some of my friends are dead. Some are in jail. I'm so empty. My brother's so happy. I want to get what he has, Lord. Please come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Be the Lord of my life. Change my life. Take me to heaven when I die. Reveal your purpose for me. And can I tell you, church, right then, I got born again. My kids started shaking. I was like, ooh. Me and my brother hugged. That's the first time we hugged in years. We were brawlers. We were beer drinkers. We fought and we cussed and we stole and we did all of those things. Ask my grandparents. They seen the ugly. But Jesus came in one day and he changed my direction. I'm no more going to Hades. I'm going to heaven. I'm no more a child of the devil. I'm a child of God. And for 22 years, this old boy has been trying to walk out of the old life and into the new life. And Jesus, little by little, by little, by little, has been changing me and molding me and making me more like unto Jesus. Thank God Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Thank God he picks up the clay. And thank God that he puts it back on the wheel. And thank God he takes out the impurities. And thank God that he gives us a second chance. And a third chance. And a fourth chance. Amen. I had a firsthand experience. And I'm not over it. You say, Bro Justin, do you go around every day acting like that? No. But I'm not ashamed to do it if God moves on me. I'm here today to introduce to you Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I'm not here to introduce to you Justin Hills. Calvary's not here to introduce Calvary's choir. We're not here to introduce a specific singer or a person. We're here to introduce you and to Jesus. He's the main event. He's the one speaking. He's the one singing in every song we sing. He is the one we come to see. I thought about doing what one preacher did, Brother Allen. He dismissed Sunday night service and said, don't miss next Sunday morning. We got a special guest coming from a long way. And they all got there. They said, preacher, where's the guest? He said, he's here. His name's Jesus. And it's sad to say, half of them were let down. Jesus is the guest. He's the guest. I could tell you all about my experience, but that's my firsthand experience. I could tell you he can make a way when there is no way after salvation. I could tell you that Jesus can sustain you. I could tell you come what may, by that means nothing, but that means nothing to you because those are my firsthand experiences. Have you, mister, had a first-hand experience with Jesus? Have you, madam, have a first-hand experience with Jesus? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Romans 10:9. In case anybody's wondering how to get saved right now, I don't believe it's a specific prayer. I do believe it's an attitude of heart. It's conversation with God. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth, the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It doesn't matter if you come to church, that will not get you saved. It doesn't matter if you get baptized, that will not get you saved. The only way for you to get saved is to confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Amen. Come in my heart. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13. The Bible says, for some that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For those who graduated high school and have great careers, have something to offer the church, can only be saved. For those who have everything together can only be saved. For those who only have new cars or new houses can only be saved. Only those who are big stature in the community and have degrees can only be saved. No, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The rich, the poor, the young, the old, the illiterate, the intellectual, and everybody in between. Jesus died this morning, and He died for all. Will you accept Jesus before it's too late? So you must have your own first-hand experience with Christ. And I'm sure most of you do in different areas. Just because mama and daddy are saved doesn't mean you're saved, young person. You must call on Him. Have a first-hand experience with Him. You must come and see Him. Just because grandpa and grandma says that God is faithful doesn't mean you know He's faithful. You must trust Him. Have a first-hand experience. You must come and see Him. We could ask Abraham this morning about the whole trust thing. And you can be rest assured that when Abraham was required to lay down his only son Isaac, and he did that, and God provided a substitute, a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. Don't you know that Abraham knew for the rest of his life that God is faithful? God is faithful. Abraham knew that if God required a son and He provided a substitute right on time, then there would never be an instant where God wouldn't come through for my life. Abraham knew that God was faithful. Do you? Do you? You must have a first-hand experience. You must come and see. There comes a point in time when you must go to God for salvation. Then after salvation, go to God for provision and learn He is faithful. It's time for some first-hand experiences this morning. Some may need to come and see His salvation. Others may need to come and see He's faithful. So again this morning, I want to share some things with you about a first-hand experience with Christ. I want to look at Philip and Nathanael, and then Nathanael's first-hand experience with Christ. Not sure if we're going to finish it, but we'll mention some of it. Listen to this. The first thing I see about this first-hand experience with Christ, I see that there was an opportunity given. Notice in verse 45. Philip, this was after, let's read verse 44. Now Philip was a Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip findeth Nathanael. Now, I don't know if Philip was out soul winning that day. I don't know if he was out looking for Nathanael. Don't know if he previously knew him. May have. The word findeth here means to perceive or to see. Philip had an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. Philip findeth Nathanael. Philip perceived Nathanael. Philip saw Nathanael. Let us this morning take every opportunity we can to share the Lord. I said Wednesday night I got a special story to tell about Florida. I want to share it right here. So we were at the beach every day. And one specific day, I think it was Tuesday morning, went to Thomas Donut, walked across the street over to the beach, parked right there at the street, went over to the beach, and set everything up, and like I always do, ran immediately to the water. Started to enjoy, the kids started to enjoy it, Christy was enjoying it, everybody just, you know, that moment where you're like, you know. And so I was out there wading in the water, and all of a sudden this man came up to me and said, "Hey man, how's it going? Hey, how you doing?" Long story short, we were talking and asked him what he did for a living, and he's from Memphis, Tennessee, and he was in his 50s, and he works for an ink company. Where's Brother Henderson at? He's in the back. Work for an ink company, Brother David. Brother David used to work for an ink company. And so I knew it was coming. "What do you do for a living?" And almost every time I tell them, they say, "I'm sorry for cussing." I was just like, well, you know, I mean, what do you do? "Well, don't do that in my presence evermore." I was just like, you know, I said, "I pastor." And, "Oh, really? Yeah. Long story short, we were out there talking for like an hour or two, in the water, in the deep, and so he said, "Hey, I heard we were talking. Somebody else came in and talked. You know how it is. Some do, I'm sure." And baseball cards got brought up, and so I'm like, "How about this baseball cards?" And so he said, "Man, I got boxes of baseball cards from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. All I'm thinking about is finding Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth." And so he said, "I want to ship them all to you for free." I said, "Awesome. Thank you." And so we were exchanging numbers out in the water, which is kind of weird, because nobody had a pen, nobody had paper. Two big guys out in the water. I mean, he's about the size I am, probably a little heavier, I don't know. And we were just like, "Well, what's your number? All right, well, when are you going home? And so we walked back on shore, exchanged numbers, and I told Christy, it was just pretty cool. And we texted later on. He's like, "Hey, I heard you talk about being sunburnt. Here's the best stuff you can use for being sunburnt, blah, 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 blah." And so I've made friends with a 50-year-old man in Florida. That's never happened to me before. We go back the next day, and I'm worn out from talking from the day before. And we post up right there on the beach, and guess who was sitting right in front of us? I saw the back of their hat, and they were just moving their head like this. It was Mike. And so I told Christy, I said, "I really don't want to talk today." And I mean, I was wore out. And so I think he kind of knew that, because after like an hour of not getting in the water, you know, he kind of did his own thing. And then I went back. Then finally, toward the end of the day, I went out in the water, and guess who came in the water? Mike came in the water. He was like, "Hey, preacher. What'd y'all get to eat last night?" I told him. He told me what they ate. And so his daughter and his daughter's friend said to him from the beach, "Dad, we're going back to the room." They literally stayed across the street. And I could tell he was thinking about it, getting out of the water. He said, "Okay, y'all go ahead. I'll be right there." Here's what happened. Mike said, "Justin, this is a God thing. Why we met, and it's not just because of baseball cards." He said, "Can I share something very intimate with you?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I suffer from severe depression." He said, "Every day, feels like it may be my last day. He says, I'm so angry. He says, I just want to walk up to somebody and knock them out. And I was praying, Lord, don't let that be me. I figured it wouldn't because he's confiding in me. And so he said, my dad, we had to take my dad off life support a year ago, and I just hadn't got over that. And by the way, I hadn't even told Christy or Lily or Kristen this, but Thursday he texted me and said he was having a very hard day. Mike from Memphis, please pray for me. It's been a year ago since my dad died. So back to the beach, we were out there talking, and he says, I'm on medication for depression, and they're wanting me to see a psychiatrist, and he says, I just don't know what to do. And about that time, I said, Mike, can I pray with you? I just felt a strong urge to just let loose right in the middle of the ocean and hug him and pray, not caring who's around me. I think one of us had our shirt on, the other one had the shirt off. And I mean, it was a grisly, manly hug too. I mean, it was emotion involved. I didn't know if they thought we were something else or what. And he said he had already been saved, but he is in a dark place. And I said, okay, Lord, this is why. This is why I'm seeing Mike on day 2. This is why I have his number. You wanted me to meet him, and you wanted me to help him. And so I remember praying with him. I hugged him, and Christy and Kristen were on the beach, and Lily was back at the tent, and they were beginning to wonder, okay, they're giving a hug, that's nice, but they didn't let go of each other, they said. And I said, Lord, please, God, touch Mike. Be real to Mike. I can understand some of the things he's going through. Been there myself. Oh, God, I know you are a provider. You're a helper. He says he's saved, but be Jesus in his life. We were praying this in the ocean. Two men. And this man that was so talkative and giddy and happy was pouring tears from his eyes. I couldn't differentiate the tears from the ocean water. He was crying so hard. I said, man, I love you. He said, Pastor Justin, I love you too. He says, please don't stop praying for me. I need help. I said, buddy, I guarantee you I will not stop praying for you. And on Thursday, he texted me again, like I said. He said, please pray for me. It's a hard day. I said, man, you can count me faithful. I'm praying for you. Let us, church, listen. Sometimes we go looking for people to witness to, and other times providentially God allows one to come our way, and we may even be a little irritated and aggravated until we learn the bigger picture. Who is it in your life that you need to witness to? Who is it in your life that may be saved already but may be suffering from depression or anxiety? They don't need you to say, oh, God's working all things. And listen, God is working all things together for good. Don't you take me the wrong way. But sometimes somebody needs a word to say, hey, it'll get better. Hey, Jesus is still on the throne. And by the way, I did say God is working all things together for good. And that is a blessed promise and an assurance we do have. In fact, Mike told me, he said, Justin, I went to Bellevue Baptist, which I believe is where Adrian Rogers pastored. I stand corrected if I'm wrong. But a big Baptist church, and he took counsel. He went for counseling there. And he said, all the preacher did was tell me that I need to read my Bible every day and I need to pray every day, which is right. Look, nobody in this room take me wrong. You do need to read your Bible every day. You do need to pray. I need to read my Bible every day. I need to pray. But this man needs psychiatry work. And he needed someone that wasn't so spiritual that would come out on the limb and say, hey, go see that psychologist. Hey, go see that psychiatrist, see if he will help you. I can't tell you about the subject of depression where pastor after pastor, preacher after preacher, just downs that and says, oh, you don't have enough faith. Oh, you got sin. Oh, no. Listen, depression can hit you after a big life-changing event, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Discouragement can hit you. Discouragement is when you've lost courage to go on. Depression is you can't go on. You can't go on. I'm not saying that this man would have done something irrevocable in his life if we didn't have this intervention, this providential encounter. What I'm saying is he was encouraged. And that preacher at Bellevue is right. You do need to read your Bible. You do need to pray. But sometimes, on top of that and alongside of that, you need someone who is human enough, who has been there, who has felt those feelings, to say, I love you. I'm praying for you. If I can make it, you can make it. I wonder if we have anybody here this morning that's willing to invest your comforts of life and to just give God an opportunity to use you. I wonder if anybody could do that this morning. I know life is busy. I know it's crazy. And listen, I can't take any credit for what happened with Mike. I didn't even want to talk to Mike. I sure am glad, in spite of how I felt, God used me. And so we see here that, don't you misconstrue what I said this morning. Bible is priority. Prayer is priority. We just need some people to come alongside of and support. We see an opportunity here. Philip findeth Nathanael. Philip had an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. So let us take every opportunity we can to share the Lord. Philip findeth Nathanael. Let us go out and take advantage of opportunities around us to be a help to others and help them find Jesus. I have three more points, but I tell you what I want to do. I'm just going to mention one, and we're going to finish the other two tonight. Don't want to rush this. Our first point was an opportunity. The second point is a strategy. You may say, Brother Justin, the reason why I haven't been on visitation is because I'm shy. I don't have the courage to speak to anybody about Jesus. I can solve that right now. It may have been a while since you have spoke to somebody about Jesus, and it may be because the fear of rejection. Let me tell you the strategy of Philip, if I could. All right, verse number 45. Philip findeth, just give me a couple more minutes. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. That's all he said. He did not say, you are a sinner, Nathanael, going to hell. And that's true. He just said, I experienced something in my life from Jesus. And you're just going to have to come and see yourself. There's nothing that I could tell you. I couldn't explain the gift of God. And I can't explain how he changed my life and the peace I feel, the assurance I have. He says, come and see. Sometimes we can actually do more damage than good by just constantly pounding people with the word. And the word must be given because it's the word of God that gives us the assurance of salvation. And it's the word of God that is the incorruptible seed that's planted in our hearts. Philip said, come and see. I want to mention something else before I finish that point. I think it's something that Philip said, Jesus of Nazareth. Because it wasn't Jesus of Nazareth, it was Jesus of Bethlehem. But he grew up in Nazareth and working and doing things. And so he's speaking of the familiarity of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says, you just have to come and see. This morning, I'm going to ask you this question. Can there any good thing come out of your bad situation? You're just going to have to come and see. My life, Brother Justin, is broken and I'm battered and I'm not saved and I could go to hell. Can any good thing come out of my life? Yes. Your name could get written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins can be washed away. God can make you, bring you from a pauper to a prince. God can bring you from a servant to a king. Not that there's anything great about us, but just talking about spiritual promotion. God can use you and put you in places of usury. But you got to come and see. You got to come and see. You just because mom and daddy are saved doesn't mean you're getting in. Just because your grandparents believed God during times of harshness and you're doubting God, you're saved, but you're doubting God, you got to come and trust God that He's provider. You got to come and trust God. You got to come see. You got to trust Him with your trial. You got to trust Him with your life. You got to ask Him to save you. If you're saved, you got to ask God to help you with your salvation that you may walk it out. And so, we see that there's a strategy here. He said, come and see. Listen, Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. All he said was, come and see. And I'm just going to give it to you, church. Jesus did the rest. Sometimes we feel like that we have to just knock people upside the head with the Bible. Yes, give the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the seed. I'm not diminishing that. We are of utmost in priority. Preach the Word. But we're not to beat people with it. We're not to shear the sheep. The sheep follow. And so this morning, come and see. Come and see. Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus and Jesus did the rest. Let us bring people to church. Listen, guy, standing here in the middle of Kroger, I can't explain to you what happened to me in my life. I'm saved, but you're just going to have to come and see for yourself. Come to Calvary. Hear the singing. Hear the preaching. The word is preached there. The gospel is sung there. Come and see. That's all you got to do. Invite somebody to church. Come and see. And on top of that, all you have to do is not only let us bring people to church to see Jesus through preaching and singing, but let us bring people to the Bible to see Jesus. Let us bring people to prayer to see Jesus. Let us bring people to Jesus. All you have to say is come and see and have your firsthand experience. Tonight, I want to conclude with a divinity and a clarity. But this morning, that's the message, and that is a firsthand experience. A firsthand experience. Have you experienced the Lord's salvation? Have you experienced the Lord's provision? That may be you this morning. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Oh God, we have not met in vain. There's someone here that needs to get saved. Let it happen. Let them come and see and taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And encourage those that are already saved. Let them come on the very first verse. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's all stand. If you don't know you're saved, come. Let me pray with you. Let somebody pray with you. The hardest step is the first step. But after you take that first step, I promise you, it's easier. Talk to somebody today about salvation. Play and song.
Empty and broken, I came back to you.
There may be other things you need to come and see happen in your life. Asking God to show you some things. Come on. Come on.
He started over.
Come on down if you need to come. We have not met in vain this morning. God is wanting to accomplish something. Why don't you come get saved? What's stopping you from trusting Jesus as your Savior? You're not going to miss out on any fun. It gets greater. There's greater fun in salvation. But I can't make you get saved. You've got to come willingly. These are praying. Not just for salvation, but just for help. You're already saved. If that's you, come and pray. There's no judgment here. If you just knew how much we loved you, you would come right now. Thank the Lord, He doesn't throw us away. Over and over, over and over.
He molds me and He makes me into His likeness. He fashions His clay. A vessel.
Thank the Lord, Brother Sal. He didn't throw us away, brother. He didn't throw us away, man. I would have threw me away 22 years ago, Brother Larry. All the glory goes to Him. A vessel of honor because of Him. Softly just for another second while these finish up this morning. Certainly not rushing the work of the Holy Spirit. Appreciate the Lord what He's done in the service this morning. And our prayer is that the Lord just continue to work here at Calvary. Do y'all feel the heartbeat here at Calvary? Do y'all feel it? Say amen. God's not done here. God has some great things coming. He blesses effort. He blesses effort. I was told that a while back. I knew that. I read in the Bible, but it rung true in my heart. God blesses effort. God's going to bless your effort. God's going to bless your effort individually, what you're doing in your life. God's going to bless the effort of us corporately. God's going to bless effort. That's all that's required. I'm just going to say one more thing about effort. It hasn't left me in a year. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. What was the equality between Paul and Apollos? They both gave effort. It's just one gave effort in planting, one gave effort in watering, Brother Ceylon, but God gave the increase. God is going to increase people in this church, but first and foremost, God's going to increase us spiritually on the inside first. Then He's going to increase numerically, and we're not caught up in numbers, but He does say, go out and bring them in, and my house may be filled. My heart aches to see people saved, God's house getting full, reach of the community, not for my glory or your glory, but for His glory. Lord willing, we'll finish up tonight on that. I do want to change the service just for a second. I know it's after the hour a good bit. All of our young people, if you're going to school, come on down. If your parents can come if you like, and know if, yeah, we've got a teacher or two here. And look at this beautiful group. Amen. Amen. And this prayer this morning is for the kids, but it's also for the parents behind the kids. Young people, you already know what you're up against. All right, there is bullying in school. There is social media. There is peer pressure. And I'm looking at some all-star young people. And I'm looking at some young people that I don't want to see, and no parent does, no house parent here wants to see any of you fall victim to any of those things and much more. I'm asking you, as a youth group here at Calvary, if you would just band together, be your brother's keeper, be your sister's keeper. Put away any differences that you may have inside the youth group. I don't know of any, but if there is any, do away with it. You want to know why? Because we're family. We are family. Your brother, your sister may need you. Somebody may be going through something. They may want to call you. I can't call them because we don't talk much. Call them. Show yourself friendly. And you do show yourself friendly. But I want you to know, each and every one of you, I'm praying for you, and I love you, and I'm here for you. Kristen's part of Grace Christian Academy this year. And so we're happy about that. We got others. Of course, Brother Brian is here for you guys. I appreciate Brother Brian and his hours of investment during the school years, during the days. All the house parents, Miss Darlene, and my goodness, Miss Melita and Elna, and all the others. Miss Tammy. All right, I'm starting to name people. Now Michelle and Dave. But I just want to take just a moment just to be still, and then I want to pray. Let's just reflect on what we're walking into. I pray that if someone down front here is not saved, that you would say yes to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to ramble. That we are not sure that we will have tomorrow. When we were down in Florida, this is what happened. It was a rainy night. I believe it was a Wednesday night. We were front, in the front line. We were right there at the red light. First in place, a big Jeep and a Toyota pickup truck had a collision. It T-boned it, and it flipped over, and it landed about 10 foot in front of our car, side up. I jumped out, tried to help some other men. They were ripping the top of that Jeep off. Four people were hanging by seat belts. I heard while we were down there, someone died on Brownsville Road in C.H. James Parkway a couple weeks ago, week two. If you go by there, there is a yellow, a purple ribbon. The Neelands. What else? God, help there be nothing else. We need each other. You're not promised tomorrow. Make sure you know Christ as your Savior. I'm not trying to pressure you, but please go to your parent or someone. And so I do want to pray for everybody and pray for the parents as well. At this time, Father, we love you today. God, I thank you for our young people, how I love each and every one of them. Lord, our young people are not perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all on your will. We all desire to be on your will, Lord, for you to mold us and make us. But I'm looking at a group of young people that has potential. I'm looking at a group of young people that I've seen great things happen in their life. I hear of conduct that's great and just things they're achieving, Lord. Whatever happened last year in school, God, let that be last year. Whatever has happened right now, if something's happened right now, let that be yesterday. Today is a new day. Let our young people embrace one another in love. We're family. And God, I pray for the boldness that Daniel had in the lion's den to be in the chest of every young person this morning that would march into their school and say, I'm a child of God if they're a child of God. and to choose to hang with the right crowd. When we're young, it seems like the right crowd is the fuddy-duddy crowd, and the wrong crowd, they're all having fun and drinking and smoking and lying and cussing. That ain't the fun crowd. That's the hurtful crowd that do not love you, does not love our young people. Let our young people gravitate. God, I pray that you put godly people in the pathway of our young people. Thank you, Lord, for who we have here. I pray for every life and every soul. If there's one that's not saved, let them get saved. But I do pray that they will have courage and trust you this school year. Do the best they can do. Focus on their grades. These years are passing by. Soon, they'll be on their own, living their own lives, having their own families. And they'll look back and remember how much Calvary Children's Home loved them, Calvary Baptist Church loved them. And Father, let that be a foundation that sustains them. We love you today, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. See you at 5 o'clock tonight, church. You're at liberty to go.